All right, so we are going to be in Job tonight. And we are going to be in Job chapter 28. So turn there if you will, and we're going to talk about God's wisdom. And this is an amazing chapter. You think about how God does things, how God works. And, you know, we try to understand, but just like that guy, there's something that had to happen, like in that story from Paul Harvey, that we will never understand. There's part of God that we cannot understand. But we need to understand that wisdom is being in reverence of God. Wisdom is not, Job is teaching us, wisdom is not knowing every answer to every question. We think that's wisdom. That's the way human wisdom would be, right? Human wisdom would say you know everything about everything and you know how to apply it. And God's Word says no. That's not what wisdom is. So tonight, we are going to go through Job 28. Remember, this is Job. He's talking. He's already responded to all three of his friends. He's starting what we're going to call his final defense next week. But he's really coming up to this idea of teaching them about God. Remember, last week he volunteered to teach these guys about God who know all the rules and know how this all works. And they kind of cringed back from that. But tonight we're going to look at this poem, and that's what it is, chapter 28, verse 1 through verse 27 is a poem. And then verse 28 is a single declaration of what God said. So let's start with verses 1 through 11. We're going to read this. And remember, he's ultimately talking about wisdom and all the crazy things that people do to get it. Okay, what are some things that we do today to gain what we call wisdom? We study. That's not so crazy, but that's good. Yep.
We Google,
yes. And do we Wikipedia? Is Wikipedia still a thing? Okay, Wikipedia is very dangerous because you don't have to be any kind of a smart guy to put anything on Wikipedia. So what else do we do? Yep, we ask for advice. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. What else do we do? Oh, yes, that's a good one. We do learn wisdom by trial and error sometimes. We have a lot of different ways of gaining wisdom. The one thing that you guys didn't say was ask God. Shame, 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 shame. We're in church. But we don't, let's be honest, we don't think about that, do we? That's the one thing that we miss. So here we go. Let's remember that in our minds. And here we go, verses 1 to 11. It says, "Surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. He breaks open a shaft away from people in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men. They swing to and fro. As for the earth, from it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up by fire. Its stones are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. That path no bird knows, nor has any falcon's eyes seen. The proud lions have not trodden on it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand in the flint. He overturns the mountain at the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling. What is hidden he brings forth to light." Now, what are those verses talking about? Yeah, searching for something that's precious. And what they're talking about here, they're searching for gold, silver, iron, and copper. They're searching for riches. Is that hard work?
Yep.
And look, and what he's really trying to emphasize here is the depths that people go to. They go to depths literally and figuratively. Look in verse 3. They put an end to darkness. He says they go into dark places that they make them not dark anymore. You think about a mine when you take that light in there. They search every recess. They break open a shaft. In verse 9, they overturn the mountains. They cut channels in the rocks. His eye sees every precious thing. What is hidden, he brings forth. With all that work, do they get all the gold out of the world? No, they don't. With all that work, with all that effort, with all that desire, do they get all the silver out of the ground? No. Do they get all the copper? They get all the iron? No, they don't. So it's hard work. But he's saying, look, precious things exist. People do all kinds of amazing hard work to find them. Right? And man does all these things, but they don't find them. Even the birds can't see them. Even the birds, the mightiest creature that he knew of was the lion. So he's looking at the creature of strength, and he says that creature doesn't even find all these riches. All right, so are you feeling, what are you feeling right now? What are you thinking when you hear this poem? This is section one of his poem. What are you thinking? Yeah, that is. That's the way you should be, because we don't have the ability to find everything humanly. This is where he's going, okay? Now, what have his friends been telling him for 26 chapters? Have they been using godly wisdom or have they been using human wisdom? Have they been able to explain everything that's going on in Job's life? Okay, so what's the analogy? You guys, y'all been mining, but you hadn't been finding, right? That kind of rhymes. It says you've been mining, but you haven't been finding. And you've been looking in the wrong place is where he's getting ready to go. Okay? With me? All right, so now, when we look at verse 12, wham, this is part two of the poem. He changes, and now he talks about wisdom. So he's talking about things that man can find, but it's hard to find. And you don't always find it all because these guys didn't find any in talking to him. But he's now going to switch verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Jump down to verse 20. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? These two verses tell us what this whole chapter is about. It's about wisdom, and it's about where we find wisdom and where wisdom comes from. We can search all kinds of human sources, and we will never find wisdom. Do you think, we go back to Paul Harvey, do you think anybody would have said to that guy, oh, well, hey, just become a bird and you can get them in the barn? No. What was human wisdom? Well, I'll shoo them in there. I'll put breadcrumbs out there. I'll put M&Ms out there. I'll do this. I'll do that. Did any of that work? No. So where is wisdom? And he's going to answer that question for us tonight. And this is one of those things where what he's, remember, trying to do is to show these guys that their answers aren't working, that there's something deeper they need to understand, and we know specifically that the question or that the question that they need to answer is, why am I suffering if I am innocent? Why do the innocent suffer? Your rules, your guidelines, your traditions, your observations, your visions, none of that stuff is explaining this because I am innocent. And we know from God's testimony about him in chapter 1 that he is innocent. It's not just up here going, I didn't do that, and trying to lie about it. He's truly innocent. So he says, you guys have searched long and hard. You've worked really, really hard, but you've missed it. And let me ask you this, where can you find true wisdom? Twice he says, and where is the place of understanding? So in verse 13, he says, man does not know its value. Does man know the value of gold, silver, copper, and iron? but we don't know the value of true wisdom, is what he's saying. Nor is it found in the land of the living. So God, this wisdom that he's talking about, which we're going to know is God's wisdom, you can't find it in the world. Well, maybe they say it's in the ocean. The deep says, it's not in me. And the sea says, it's not with me. So this wisdom can't be in the ocean. The waters don't have it. So the next response is, well, if I can't find it, maybe I can buy it, right? Wouldn't that be our response? Probably. Can I buy a book? Can I go to Books A Million or Amazon and go to the self-help section and buy me a book that will teach me what I need to know about this relationship, about this situation? Fair. Hey, and by the way, Bible sales are on the uptake for the first time in a while. But here's what the Bible says. It, talking about wisdom, cannot be purchased for gold. Nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. So what do we get from that? It's more valuable than any of those things that exist. And you go through that list. I mean, you've got gold, you've got silver, you've got sapphire, you've got onyx, you've got crystal, you've got quartz, you've got coral, you've got rubies, you've got topaz, all those fine, precious jewels. And he's saying that this wisdom that you can't find in the land of the living, that it doesn't exist on the earth per se, you can't find it, but it's more valuable than anything that you've got or anything that you should be searching for. What did you remember the parable Jesus told about the kingdom of heaven? And he said it's like a guy who finds buried treasure and he goes and he sells all that he has to buy that land where the treasure is. He sells all that he has. Why? Because that treasure, the kingdom of heaven, is worth everything to him. Right? He told about a second guy. Then this guy was not just stumbling along and found something. This guy was a dealer in fine pearls. And he had tons of great pearls. But one day he goes into this store. He goes into an emporium, is what it says. And he sees this pearl. And it's the most beautiful, precious-looking pearl he has ever seen. And he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to sell all my beautiful other precious pearls because I want to buy this one. It was that valuable to him. That's the way we look at the kingdom of heaven. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. And what Job, and you know, we got to remember, this progressive revelation that we've been talking about, Job is learning this, maybe not on the go, but it's the first time Job's ever had to actually take it and apply it to his life, right? Because things have gone really, really badly, we would say, for Job, right? So here's what Solomon says about wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. He says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." So look at the price Solomon puts on wisdom. And you guys know Solomon's story. God said, tell me anything you want and I'm going to give it to you. And he didn't pick gold, he didn't pick silver, he didn't pick military strength. He wanted wisdom to govern God's people in accordance with God's law. And when he asked for that, God said, well, I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you everything else too, because your priority was wisdom. And Solomon knew wisdom is better than rubies. So he says, you can't find it on your own, and you can't buy it. So he repeats the question we saw in verse 12. He says, in verse 20 again, he says, where does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? Verse 21, he says, it is hidden from the eyes of all the living and concealed from the birds of the air, just like he was talking about before. Well, then you say, well, maybe then if I die, if I can't get it in the land of the living, if I can't find it, maybe I'll get wise when I die. Maybe I might get reincarnated and come back as something smarter. Maybe I'll just find out when I die. No, that doesn't work either. Look at verse 22. Destruction and death say, we've heard a report about it with our ears. They don't know it either. And actually, these words are the names of angels. They don't get it either. All right? They don't understand true godly wisdom. Destruction, death. That actually, the word destruction is the word that means the abyss. Okay, it's talking about the angels that are in the abyss. They don't get it. Death doesn't get it. Death doesn't bring us any smarter if we don't have God, right? So he says, you can't get it when you're living. You can't get it on your own in death. You can't buy it. You can't find it anywhere. But verse 23, God understands its way, and he knows its place. This is where he's going. This is where he's headed to with his point to these guys. I've shown you that you don't have wisdom. I've shown you that your wisdom doesn't work. And if your wisdom doesn't work, it's not wisdom. You cannot get through on your own reasoning, on your own searching, on your own Googling. You can't get the answers to this question simply through your efforts. There has to be something else, and that something else is God. He says, God understands its way, and he knows its place. And then he's going to talk about why. And remember, what he's saying here is that God's wisdom is the only thing that can explain what's going on with me. Because remember, it's still about him. It's all about, you know, why am I suffering and I'm innocent? He says God's wisdom is the only thing that is going to explain what's going on. God can do this. I know that he can. I put my faith in him. I know that his wisdom will work. Look in verse 22. This is what, or 24. This is when he starts talking about why. He says only God knows about true wisdom because he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens. He sees everything. He knows everything. He does all this to establish a weight for the wind, to apportion the waters by measure, when he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt. Understand what he's saying here. He's saying God gives weight to the wind. How fast does it blow? How hard is it blowing? That's what it's talking about. How much rain are we going to get? You know, how many of you have ever known a meteorologist in Nashville, particularly, to give you a weather forecast and it be right? God's never wrong on the weather forecast, you know? He always gets exactly the amount of rain that he intends for it to rain. He's talking about he made a law for the rain. He knows where it's going to go, and a path for the thunderbolt. He tells the thunderbolt, the lightning, where to go. I mean, you think about that. That's awesome. And remember, I asked you this on day one of this study. We believe that. We confess we believe it, right? That God controls everything. And the question is, well, then what happens when the lightning bolt hits a 12-year-old child and kills him? It happens. Did God tell the lightning bolt where to go? Yes. Why? That's the question that Job's trying to answer now. And we will get the right answer to, but it won't be the answer that answers the question. And that's what this is all about. Job's building them up. He's teaching them something now that God sees everything. Look, he's in control of everything. So because he's in control, look at verse 27. Then he saw wisdom and declared it. He's talking about God. He declared. That word means prepared. So God didn't just hear wisdom. He is the one who declares wisdom. Very big difference, okay? He's the one that creates wisdom. It's not God didn't say it because it was wise. It's wise because God said it. You see the difference? Yeah, he didn't. It's not, God didn't say it because it was wise. It's wise because God said it. It works with any of those. It's not, God didn't say to do something because it's righteous. It's righteous because that's what God said to do or not do. And what Job is simply saying here is, look, God sees everything and he declares what wisdom is. Look at the second part of verse 27. He prepared it indeed. He searched it out. That's the end of the poem. But you should have God elevated really, really high right now, because he's told us how much people chase their own wisdom, how much people chase things that are precious. And he says, you can't get this. The richest person in the world can't buy it, but I know who has the wisdom. I know who can tell you anything you need to know, and that's God. You guys see that? Yes, we do. No, we don't. Maybe. All right. So, but that's what he's getting to. And can you see the light bulb going on a little bit more each day that we get this in Job? I mean, he's putting all these things that he's heard, and they're making sense to him maybe for the first time in his life. You know, God obviously talked to him before all this started. We actually see that in a minute. Before all this started, he'd been talking to God. And he's like, oh, now, you know, that makes sense now, because we know he's heard about redemption. He's heard about forgiveness. He's heard about confession. He's heard about a mediator somewhere. He's heard all kinds of things that he just can't quite grasp. Then in verse 28, again, this is not part of the poem, but this comes out, and he says, this is what wisdom is like. Wisdom is God. And here's what wisdom declared. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So you guys want to be wise? Don't try to explain everything. Fear God. But, y'all, I mean, wouldn't you be saying that? But, you know, why'd the lightning bolt hit the 12-year-old? Why did I lose all my kids? Why did I lose all my possessions? Why did all this happen to me? Revere God. And eventually, that's what's going to take Job's questions. And he's going to say, he will ultimately say, I don't have anything to say. I'm sorry. Because he understands, he's put it all together. He's put the two and two together and he's gotten four. But let's stay on this for a minute. Wisdom is not having all of your questions answered. Now, how are you going to feel about that? We don't like it, do we? We don't like not having our questions answered. What is wisdom? Trusting God. What if all my questions aren't answered? Doesn't matter. What if this doesn't work out? Doesn't matter. If I'm trusting God, that's my wisdom. Does that sound familiar, by the way, that verse? The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding? Oh, yeah. Well, let's go there. Proverbs 1:7. Good. Proverbs 1:7. That's right. It's just like if we could see everything, there wouldn't be a need for faith, would there? If it was now, how many of you though still would like to have more of your questions answered than not? Yeah, but we got to learn, and that's why all this stuff's been going on. Job and his three friends and Elihu, who we're going to meet in a couple of weeks, they're all put here for us. God's showing us, y'all have wasted all this discussion. Y'all been babbling, and it's been just making people upset and angry, and it's not getting anywhere. But look at Proverbs 1:7 and see if this doesn't just boom what Job said. Now, this was written again by Solomon at least 1,300 years after Job would have said this. All right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Ooh. Am I right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Go over to Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, 10. This is going to sound very familiar. This is David writing this, Solomon's father. Psalm 111, 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commands." And what these guys are both saying is, look, wisdom itself is simply revering the Lord. If you were here for our Ecclesiastes study, jump one more book over beyond Proverbs. Go to Ecclesiastes, last chapter, chapter 12, verse 13. And you know, this was Solomon, the wisest man other than Jesus who ever lived. This is Solomon, and he's going through all these things that he's experimented with. We went through all of them. Wealth, power, all the things that he thought would bring him wisdom. And they were all disappointing to him. And nothing brought him any relief. Verse 13, he says, he's gone through it all. He's talked about everything in the world that he's done in his entire lifetime. And he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." So what does it all mean? What's the bottom line? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. You see that? They get it. They understand that wisdom isn't knowing every answer. Wisdom is putting your faith completely in God so that you, when those weird things happen to you in life, when those, as we say, quote, bad things happen to you in life, you're not blown off course because your wisdom is not dependent on those circumstances. Just like we've been talking about in Advent, your hope, your faith, your joy is not dependent on the circumstances. It's dependent on a person. And that person, as Job has told us, looks at the end of the earth and he sees everything under the heavens. He sees it all at one time, all history, all everything. And he knows exactly where we are. You know, he knows exactly what we need. One more verse tonight, Deuteronomy 29, 29. And this is just to show us that we do not have to know. And Paul said, you know, I've learned to be content with the revelation that God has given me. I've learned to accept the scriptures that God's given me and not try to get more. You know, we talked about this. God's word says, don't add to it, don't take away from it. And, you know, the reason, well, a motivation, maybe not the reason, but a motivation for people to add to it is because they don't think God's word is sufficient to answer the questions, right? What does God's word say? Scripture is sufficient for everything, right? It is sufficient, but, and that's the next line, but here's what Deuteronomy 29, 29 says. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So this verse tells us, as does the rest of the Bible, that there's some stuff there that we will never, ever know, and we don't have to. But the things that are revealed, that God has revealed to us, they go to our kids. We're supposed to use them. We're supposed to talk about them. We're supposed to learn about them. But we are supposed to be content to revere God and trust Him when we don't have all the answers. So Job has pointed out to his friends now the critical distinction, and you guys will get this. They are seeking wisdom in and of itself. They want to be wise to be wise. They want to be smart to be smart, to have all the answers. Job says, that's not right. Solomon says, that's not right. David says, that's not right. Jesus says, that's not right. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. We're supposed to seek first God. And when you start your focus with God, and you get your reverence for God fixed correctly, you don't need worldly philosophies. You don't need all these traditions. You don't need all these legalistic rules. You don't need any of this thing. You simply need to follow God. And that's what Job is saying in tonight's scripture. He is just lifting God up as the source of wisdom, the only source of wisdom. Only God knows where it comes from. Only God declares it. And that's who we need to turn to. That makes sense. And that to me is such an awesome proclamation by Job, with everything that was going on with his life, that he would still, you know, he's been on a roller coaster emotionally. We've seen that. Next week we'll see it again when he finishes. But again, his point is, I am going to trust God. And you look back at all the times in this book where he's had the opportunity to just, as his wife suggested, curse God and die. No, he wouldn't do that. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. That's what understanding what wisdom is. Though I'm going down. And you understand this, when we hear it next week, he thinks he's getting ready to die. He's getting worse. He doesn't know the secret that we know, that Satan can't have his life. His skin next week is going to be falling off in black chunks. Kind of gross. But even then, he's looking to God. And that's the lesson for tonight, is the wisdom that God gives, as crazy to us as it may sound, here's one. Hey, put your faith in my son who came to this earth and got himself hung on a tree. And you know, that caused people a lot of trouble back in the early days. They're like, why in the world would I put my faith in somebody who couldn't even save himself? Wrong focus, right? He didn't come to save himself. He came to save us by giving himself. Well, that's stupid. Why would he do that? Because that's God's wisdom. How do you think God, why would Jesus come as a man? Take the birds. Why would Jesus come as a man? Yes. He was tempted in all ways, yet he sinned not. Does that help you relate to him? You know, we talked in class, this Sunday school this morning about, I think it was this morning, about how we would relate to God if he had just come down and been the king. If he'd have come down and had the robe and had the crown and been all, you know, all the angels around, would we have approached him the same way? Would you feel as comfortable talking to him as you do, knowing that he worked as a carpenter for 30 years? I don't think we would. I think we'd be intimidated. I think we'd be scared of him. Would we run into God's throne room yelling, Daddy, Daddy, if Jesus hadn't come and told us we could do that? Uh-uh. Because we'd still be under that system where only one guy got to go into that Holy of Holies one day a year, and then he had to be clean, and he was tied off anyway in case he wasn't clean. Not just all of us. That's godly wisdom. Godly wisdom will not make sense to us. It won't mesh with our worldly philosophies. It won't mesh with our worldly traditions. Just like these three friends, you know, they're trying their darndest to peg Job's problems. and nothing works because their philosophies don't work. They're not wise. So the idea is that God's wisdom is the only thing we need to be focused on, no matter what happens.